Would you all pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The scripture this morning is Daniel 3, which has been in the news a little bit lately, but hopefully I will tell the story and you will catch on. Theos Epiphanos, God manifest. This is what Antiochus IV claimed about himself. A Seleucid Syrian tyrant in 167 BCE, Antiochus IV destroys Jerusalem, desecrates the temple, and commands the Jews to cease following the dictates of the Torah. Some of those who resisted were executed. The book of the prophet Daniel was most likely written at the height of the terrors of Antiochus IV. Much too dangerous to write about someone like that directly, the authors spin a story about a tyrant king from ages past, whose terror was only equal to his arrogance. King Nebuchadnezzar builds for himself an enormous golden statue, a symbol of his power and authority, 90 feet tall by 9 feet wide. And he summons all of the officials of the realm, including 3 Jewish foreigners, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They are commanded that every time they hear the musical ensemble, they are to fall down and worship the golden statue. Whoever does not comply will be burned in a fiery furnace. And so comply most did. The king learns that these 3 Jews have refused to comply, have refused to bow down to the statue. And so the king summons them and asks, "Is it true that you do not serve my gods and you do not worship the golden statue? Now, this time, when you hear the musical ensemble, fall down and worship the statue that I have made. But if you do not worship, you shall be thrown in the furnace of blazing fire. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?" The 3 Jews have no need to defend themselves against the accusation. They have not complied, and they will not comply. They say, "If our God is able to deliver us from the furnace and out of your hand, then let him deliver us. But if not, let it be known to you that we will not serve your gods, and we will not worship your golden statue." It's a statement of their own integrity, their own faith, a refusal to serve the gods of the king. They know that the future is out of their hands, the consequences out of their hands. Instead, they know what is theirs to do. They do what is within their power. And the choice is clear. They can bow down to the tyrant king, or they can stand tall. They can resist. It was a choice of consequence, and they would not bow down. They would not worship at the altar of the one who claimed himself to be Theos Epiphanos, God manifest, the one who was so weak that he had to build tall towers to lift up his own name. Their non-compliance so angered the king that the king's face became unrecognizable. He put the burners on full blast. The guards who tossed the 3 into the furnace were themselves destroyed. The guards' obedience did not protect them. Then the king looked into the fire, and there amidst the flames, 4 figures in the furnace, one of them appearing like a god. God manifest. Theos epiphanos, indeed. God became present not in a golden statue, not in a fragile emperor, but in the presence of his beloved who chose faithfulness despite the cost. God came in solidarity to be with their people who refused to bow. Reinhold Niebuhr writes, "Obedience is prompted by the fear of power on one hand and by reverence for majesty on the other." The three had reason to be afraid of that king. But those three, they were compelled to obedience by something much stronger than fear of power. Their God who created the universe and set the world into motion. Their God who led their ancestors out of slavery in Egypt and into freedom. Their God who commanded them to welcome the stranger, to care for the poor, who gave them the law. This God was majestic. It was to that God and that God alone that they would bow. That God, a God whose power was only surpassed by their tenderness. God whose primary action is liberation. God, a power deserving of their obedience. Now, they did not know if God would protect them. They did not know what would happen on the other side of their decision. They knew only that they had to be faithful to the one who had been faithful to them, maker of the universe. These men could not be bowed. Perhaps within them they felt a quickening, that Holy Spirit, that Holy Ghost who for millennia has been strengthening the souls and straightening the backs of the faithful in the face of imperial violence, who has been whispering into our souls, "You belong to no power of this world. You are a child of God. No other power can lay claim to you. Do not let yourself be claimed by them." And in that fiery furnace, not three figures, but four, one of them appearing as God, Theos Epiphanos, the actual presence of God, made manifest right in the midst of the fiery furnace, made manifest in the lives of those who stayed faithful despite the cost, made manifest then and now where faithful people stand firm. In times of tyrant kings, the people of God must remain unbowed. In times of tyrant kings, the people of God must be willing to make choices of consequence, to risk angering the powerful, to risk our status and even our safety when our faith demands it of us. We cannot control the orders of tyrant kings, but the tyrant kings cannot control us either. We decide who we will be. We decide if we bow or if we resist. Those three Jewish leaders, they weren't looking for trouble, but they were living in troubled times, and trouble found them, and they did not shrink in its presence. We are in troubled times. And so what will we do, Old South Church? Who will we be? We come from a people unbowed. We come from a people who stayed faithful when they could have stayed fearful. From a people who stayed faithful when to do so had real consequences. The Christian faith is no docile thing in the context of tyrant kings and imperial violence. The worship of our God is not benign. Not when there are other kings who want to claim us, who ask us to bow down, to comply, who are afraid, who are afraid of how powerful we might be. They are betting on us being afraid. They are betting on us bowing. Reverend Dr. William Barber says, we know a president isn't a king unless we bow. We know a dictator is not a dictator unless we bow, and our knees, your knees, were not made for bowing. On this 355th year of Old South Church, as the pillars of democracy seem to be crumbling, as orders come down from on high, let us sink our roots down deep into our faith. Let us open ourselves to the Holy Spirit, strengthening our backs and steadying our hearts. When they come for our trans siblings, we will not bow. When they come for our scientists, for our researchers, our doctors, some of the best healers this world has ever seen, we will not bow. When they come from our neighbors who seek sanctuary within our borders, we will not bow. When they promote racism and lift high white nationalism, we will not bow. When they say children must starve at the altar of efficiency, we will not bow. People of God, let us make choices of consequence. And when we do, may God meet us right there in that fiery furnace. God manifest. Amen.